Good morning. Today's daf in Chagigas Chavav, second to last daf in the Masechta. We're here now towards the end of the third parak of the Masechta, dealing with the chumras of Kodesh over that of Truma and with chumras of Truma over that of Kodesh. The majority of our parak is going to be dealing with the chumras of Kodesh over that of Truma, which makes sense. Kodesh has more Kedusha than that of Truma, and so there are going to be a number more chumras by Kodesh than that of Truma. The opening mission of our parak taking us all the way back to Chafam and Beis outlined and listed 11 chumras that you have by Kodesh over that of Truma. The most recent mission that we've been working on notes that there are a couple of chumras of Truma over that of Kodesh. Okay, so we are right now still holding on that sugya. So we are now on the back end of Chaf Amud Beis, and we have a little bit more to get to before we get to the next mission, on the bottom of Chaf Amud Beis. If you recall, the Mishnah in yesterday's daf, if you go back to Chaf Dal Amud Beis, Chomer B'Truma. So there are a couple of chumras that you have regarding truma. And that is notably what? So I'm chazzling over the Mishnah from yesterday. So when it comes to the Taras Yain V'Shemen of Kodesh, so that Neman is you have year-round. However, V'Shas Agitus, when it comes to the press, the pressing season, V'Habadim, the pressing season of either the wines or the oil, so then there's Nemanus even on truma as well. What I never said yesterday, even though we did the Mishnah, is I never give a svara. Why should that be? Meaning, by Kodesh, where they're Neman year-round. So there, the svara would be, well, actually yesterday I did say for Kodesh, I didn't say anything Tosu says, but I quoted it, and that is that Emas HaKodesh, right? There's this idea that generally speaking, people have more reverence and fear when it relates to Kodesh, and even the Amei Haaretz, who are not super careful about Tumah Tahara, but when it comes to Kodesh, So they are going to be trusted because they have a general extra reverence as it relates to Kodesh. What about Truma? So Truma not so. Okay, good. But during the pressing season, so then we are Makel, and they're going to be believed during the pressing season. Why should that be? So the Gemara never says. In other words, there's no Svara given in the Gemara. But there is a Rashi, and the Rashi is actually coming up in our sugya that we're about to do. But the basic idea, says Rashi, is that when it comes to Truma, so during the pressing season, so that's most of the wine and most of the oil being produced at that point in time. If we, generally speaking, took a hard stance by the Amei Haaretz, and we said that that's it, you have no credibility whatsoever, and everything you're producing is Tamei, so then where does that leave the Kohanim? It leaves them with nothing. Meaning there has to be some sort of concession. Meaning in general, the Chazal, and when I say we, I'm not speaking about me, but the Chazal were concerned about the Amei Haaretz and their care towards Tumah Tahara, but at the same time, you also have to deal with a certain reality that if there was a general ban that we're not going to trust the Amei Haaretz regarding Truma, so that's going to leave the Kohanim with nothing. So there is a window of opportunity where they have Nemanus, and that's during the pressing season. Okay, that's what we learned back in the Mishnah. And then after having learned that halacha in the Mishnah discusses what happens when they offer to you after the pressing season is over, so you have to decline. And what you say to them is, come back to me next press season, where then you can give me the barrel if the barrel's still around. If you recall yesterday, we asked a really simple question, why don't you take the barrel, and you hold on to it until the next pressing season? The Gemara asked that question, Rav Sheshet tried to give an answer to that question. That's yesterday's daf. And then the Mishnah concluded, and now we wrap up our summary, and we're about to start the Gemara. Kadiyam v'kadi shemen. Now, as far as the jugs are concerned, jugs of wine, jugs of oil, ha meduma os, that are meduma. Meaning, as Rashi back in the Mishnah says, it's truma, it's chulin, it's a mixture of the two of them. So, ne'manim aleim, b'shas agitos, v'abadim v'kodim l'gitos shivim yom. So, b'shas agitos, at the time of the press, so either the wine press, the olive press, so they're going to be believed during that time, on the jugs themselves, and kodim l'gitos shivim yom in 70 days prior as well. Meaning that the pressing season starts not only when they're actually pressing, but 70 days in anticipation, where everything is getting ready for the pressing season. Good. That's what we saw back in the Mishnah. So now we're talking about the actual jugs themselves. With that stated, we are now in the Gemara on Chaf He Amud Beis at the two dots. It's a little bit further down than halfway. So we have a Braisa. The Braisa says that they're not going to be trusted. The Amei Haaretz are not to be trusted on Kankanim. Now that's the barrels, and not on Truma as well. Kankanim demai. So the Gemara says, barrels. What barrels are we talking about? Right. it's funny. It just takes a little bit of time just to get a little bit more fluent and fluent in terms of reading the Gemara, right? Demai over here does not mean demai. Meaning demai over here just simply means which barrels are they? Okay, kankanim demai, which, by the way, is the definition of the word demai means, but not for now. Anyway, sorry. E kankanim de kodesh. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? We're talking about the barrels where it was used for storage for kodesh. The Gemara says, well, why wouldn't we believe them? Migu de mehem and kodesh mehem and namei kankanim. Well, we're going to put together a very simple svara. Remember in yesterday's daf, we said that when it comes to kodesh, they're neman. They have credibility as it relates to kodesh. So if they have credibility for the kodesh itself, that's the content. So you don't think they're going to have credibility on the barrels that are holding the kodesh? So ala kankanim de truma. So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be that the barrels are barrels of truma. So pshita hasha truma la mehem and kankanim mehem. So the Gemara says, well, that sounds ridiculous. Meaning they don't have nemanus on the truma. That's the content. And now you're going to tell me, but they do have credibility on the barrel holding the truma? That's very difficult. So ela berei kanim, the kodesh. Uvashar yimos neshana, uvamleim de truma, uvashas agitos. So the Gemara says, so what are we talking about? We're talking about empty barrels of kodesh during the rest of the year. And we're talking about Malayan barrels that are full of truma, uvashas agitos, and during the time of the press. Now, that's very difficult. Why should that be? So look at Rashi over here. Rashi explains. Back up even a couple of Rashis. Reikanim de kodesh la'achar she'ir emem kodesh. Vayashar mal mekodesh einaman al shmir asam. So once the kodesh, once the contents are emptied out, and all you're left with is just a barrel, so shar kol yimos hashana, klamer kol yimos hashana de la kodesh ein chilek bein shas agitos l'shar yimos hashana. Rashi reminds us that when it comes to kodesh, so we do not differentiate any time of the year. By kodesh, they're always believed on kodesh. However, when it comes to the barrel now, once you empty the contents, so they lose their credibility on the barrel. That demands an explanation. Forthcoming in just a moment. Next Rashi. Uvamleim de truma b'shas agitos, sha'afa b'shlo gazur al truma sam b'shas agitos, mimnei hefzi kohanim chaverim, denim tzeis mafsidim erov truma seret Yisrael. So here's the Rashi that I previewed at the beginning of today's daf. Where Rashi says over here, look, when it comes to the truma, there needs to be a concession. Has to be. Right? During the pressing season, when most of the wine and the oil is being produced, and we're going to say that anything produced from an Am Haaretz is just simply off limits to the Kohanim, so then what are the Kohanim left with? Nothing. There has to be a concession. Fine, so the concession is, again, by Kodesh, year-round, they're going to be believed. When it comes to truma, they're going to be believed during the season, during the pressing season. Okay. But as Rashi points out over here, but that's a concession. But nevertheless, next part of Rashi. Al kankanim lohaminum. But the concession is only regarding the truma itself, but not regarding the barrel. Veina kohanim chavir, mekabla mehem kankanim, ima truma. So now, what does that mean? It's a really funny halacha. It's a little bit difficult to understand. But what you're going to have to do now as a kohen, receiving the truma. Now again, vis-a-vis the truma, nemanus. Vis-a-vis the barrel holding the truma, your barrel isn't kosher. Now, again, I know I'm using really strong language over here, but basically that's what the Gemara is saying. And what you're going to have to do now is that you're going to have to take the contents, the truma, and now put it into your kelim. Ava ma'arin osam l'kleim v'dekavasi amrin l'kamen al titmash ari lagin tamayim tamashiva umashkin ta'orin. And this idea now that we're going to make a distinction between the barrel and the contents. The contents are acceptable, they're tahor, and the barrel is going to be tamay. And that's really strange. And later, the Gemara is just going to simply say, Al Titma. Yeah, don't wonder so much about it because it's precedented. Okay. Now, in terms of where it's precedented, so we'll talk about that in just a moment from now. Anyway, what comes out now from our Gemara is pshat in our Mishnah that they're not Ne'eman and Kadayan and Kadeshemen on the barrels. Okay, so now we're saying really an incredible pshat. So vis-a-vis the content, so again, Kodesh year-round, they're Ne'eman. When it comes to truma during the pressing season, they're neman. But when it comes to the barrels of kodesh or of truma, they're not going to be neman. Because the concession is only vis-a-vis the content, the actual kodesh, the actual truma, but not regarding the barrel. And
that was explained that yesterday, if they gave it to him during those seasons, say, hold them the next year. Meanwhile, it's stored in the container.
Yeah, right. So again, a differentiation between the container and the contents. So the container, they're not neman. The contents, they are going to be neman. And I guess what's going to happen is that even if you were to hold on to it to the next pressing season, so that means that you're allowed to, you can help yourself to the contents, not the container. Okay.
So
Let me think a little bit more about it. Right, the question's outstanding, and okay, I would like some more time to think about it. Tanan, after the Gemara has now presented, so we go back to our Mishnah. Kadiyam v'kadoshem en ha-meduma os. So now our Mishnah uses a language that the Kadayin and the Kadeshemen are miduma. Now, miduma means mixture. That we know for sure. Now, typically, you've gone through enough shas, so you know that miduma is generally a description of truman chulin getting mixed up together. So the Gemara says, now let's consider. So, my love miduma is the truma. So miduma over here presumably means truma because that's typically what it means. Now, Amr debay Rabbi Chia. Now, I'm sorry. And if that's true, what's the, now the problem? So the problem is that if I have kadiyam v'kadoshem hameduma os ne'manim aleihem, so they're going to be trusting on them, says our Mishnah. Now we just learned in the Gemara about a difference between content and container. Contents they're ne'man, container they're not ne'man. Now we're saying a pshat in the Mishnah that they're going to be believed on kadiyayin v'kadoshem hameduma os. That's talking about the container, not the contents. That's difficult. So, Amid de Rabbi Chia Meduma Os de Kodesh. So the Gemara says, well, maybe Meduma over here means a mixture of Kodesh and Chulin. So, Mi'ika Dimur le Kodesh. The Gemara says, really? That's the word Dimur as applies to a mixture of Kodesh and Chulin? Amid de Bei Rabbi Eli, Bemetaris Tivlo Litomi Menu Nisachim. So the Gemara says, well, yes. In other words, let's say it's your Tevel. And what you plan on doing with your tevel is now obviously you have to take off truma of it, but whatever chulin is remaining, you're planning on using for kodesh, meaning for nesachim. Okay, so in other words, you're right. Generally speaking, demua is a mixture of truma and chulin. Over here, it's tevel. Tevel, by definition, is a mixture of truma and chulin. And what you plan on doing with it eventually is using it for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, you still have to take off truma, but now we are describing something that is truma, it's chulin, and it's kodesh, because you plan on using the chulin for kodesh. Under those circumstances, now we could say that that's pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, therefore, says that he has credibility on the container. Don't we normally say no? Yeah, but if it's kodesh, so then you're going to have credibility. Just like they have credibility on the kodesh, so too they have credibility regarding the container as well. Okay. Kodem legito shivim yom, amar rabbi ishma mina dina hu di ilave arisa lemitzvah chagufei shivim yom mikamei matzarta. And so the Gemara over here says, look, when do we have nemanus by the Amei Aretz? During the pressing season and 70 years prior. So that means, Abaye says, as a general rule, when you hire a sharecropper, so here's what you could do. So, in other words, the season starts at a certain point in time, but you call your sharecroppers and you're like, you need to come to work. But we're 2.5 months away from the press. So now, in other words, now you know the mission chagiga. So now when you call your sharecroppers 2.5 months in advance, you say to them, no, you're coming now. In other words, remember the Mishnah Chagiga? So in other words, the Mishnah Chagiga informs us that it is fair business practice to go ahead and expect the sharecroppers to come 2.5 months in advance in order to prepare the containers. Okay. Let's start with the next Mishnah. We are on Chaf Hamad Beis, Min HaModiim V'Lifnim. So Modiin, popular town now in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. I even have some friends living there. So the... So minamadim v'lifnim ne'emanim aklicheres. Minamadim v'lachutz ein ne'emanim. So now, when it comes to klicheres, and here we're talking about that's going to be used for kodesh, presumably. So if you are interior to Modi'in, so then the Am Haaretz is going to have ne'emanus. If you are exterior to Modi'in, so the Am Haaretz is not going to have ne'emanus. Look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. Modi'im shem krach rachok mishlaim tezvav mil. So it's 15 approximately kilometers. I understand mil is 2,000 amas, kilometers a little bit different, but it's just a good way to think about it. It's not that far off from a linear distance. Anyway, so it's about 15 kilometers outside of Yerushalayim. Modern day Modi'in, I think, is a little bit further. Yes. Yeah. Okay, definitely. More than 15 kilometers. It's 20 minutes. Okay, fine. Anyway, so... Kedamar ben Masechet Pesachim. Anyway, so mimenu v'lifnim letzad Yerushalayim ne'emanim kadarim amei aretz. So when you have your kadarim, so your kadarim are your actual manufacturers, right? Okay, we're talking about the people making them. So likach mem klicheres hadakim kegon kederes kotzos v'kitanir sheyefshar below him. Now, once again, we spoke earlier this morning about concessions. So for a second time this morning, we get to speak about another concession. And that is that when it comes to the clay cheres manufactured by the Amei Haaretz, so as long as you're interior to Modi'in, so the Chachamim said, look, we're going to have to make a concession. And you're going to be able to believe them. They're going to have Nemanah's credibility over the fact that it's Tahor. Now, Rashi points out what we're going to learn together later this morning, but let's say it now so that we understand a little bit better. Why make the concession? Meaning, why not just simply say that I'm going to go and when I get into Yerushalayim, so I'm going to buy all my merchandise in Yerushalayim, right? People travel on Pesach, right? We don't, but I've heard. People travel on Pesach. So what are you going to do? You're going to schlep your pots and pans with you? Now, for some people, the answer is yes. But it's much easier when you go to Yerushalayim to go ahead and to buy everything in Yerushalayim. Here's the problem, as Rashi points out over here, the Gemara is going to point it out later on this morning. And that is Yerushalayim. I'm reading the Rashi. Uvishalayim in Ostim Kivshonos Mimneha Ashan. Lolasiv Lolakaderos. So in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is zoned so that you cannot manufacture, you cannot produce earthenware in Yerushalayim. Producing earthenware is going to require fire, smoke, and so Yerushalayim is zoned so that you cannot manufacture. We don't want the extra smoke in Yerushalayim. Okay, they want a certain they want the smog levels in Yerushalayim to be down. And so you can't do it in Yerushalayim proper. And now what? You can't purchase the earthenware in Yerushalayim proper. And now there's got to be some sort of designed area where if we don't say it's okay, where are you going to get your kederim from? And now, so therefore, a concession is made that if you're kadar ma'aretz, if you're a manufacturer ma'aretz, then you're outside Yerushalayim, but you're interior to Modi'in, approximately 15 kilometers outside of Yerushalayim. So there, the Chachamim made a concession. You could buy from that Amaretz. Okay, and Rashi explained why it is that they had to make a concession. Now, Ketzad. So back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says here, let's try to illustrate this. HaKadash u'mocher HaKaderos nichnas lifnim en amedim hu HaKadar ven HaKaderos ven alokhim neman. Yatza eino neman. So over here, the example that's given in the Mishnah, it's a little bit tricky. Look at Rashi over here. I go back to the Rashi. Hu akadar mi shehevin michutz lemodim heminu lefishiafshar. So if you are coming from outside of modim, so they are being believed because once again we have no alternative. Meaning there has to be concession. Aval imas only ad kedar ma'aretz. But if given over to the Kadar, meaning if the Kadar himself didn't manufacture it, so then he's not going to be believed. Rashi, next Rashi, Ve'ina Kaderos, Al Osana Kaderos Shehevi, Hu Eminu, Velo Litzarf Imahem Kaderos Shal Kadar Acher Ayoshe B'Modi'im. Additionally, it has to be the Kadar, the pots manufactured by this particular person. What he cannot do is he cannot be a distributor. He has to be the manufacturer. And vehena lochin chaverim sheru shevu neman akadar etzlam velo etz lochim acherim. Furthermore, one other detail says Rashi, and that is that you have to have seen him come in with his pot, meaning that it can't be that you just simply you're purchasing it from him, not knowing that he's the one who actually brought it into Modi'in. So this is, there is a concession, but with a lot of regulations, if you will. That is that he has to be the manufacturer. He cannot be a distributor. You have to have seen him brought it in under those circumstances and only under those circumstances, can you go ahead and can you purchase it from him? Otherwise, ain't on Amon, you cannot purchase it from him. Okay. So as much as there is a concession to go ahead and to buy, clay cheres from a Ama Aretz, as we are approaching Yantiv, nevertheless, it has to be within Modi'in, only from the manufacturer, etc., etc. Tana, we learned in the, we're back to the Gemara, we're starting with a Braisa. Modi'im pa'amim kelefnim pa'amim kelechutz. Now, what about Modi'im itself? Meaning, we talked about being interior to Modi'in, we talked about being exterior to Modi'in. What about in Modi'in itself? So the Braisa says, depends. Ketzad. Kadar yotzei v'chaver nichnas. If let's say the kadar is yotzei and the chaver is nichnas. Okay, yotzei over here meaning that he's heading outbound. right? Rashi writes that very clearly. He is milifnei modiim, and now he's entering into modiim. And it happens to be that you the consumer, are now headed inbound. So now, how do we view modiim? How do we treat modiim? Modiim now at that point in time is going to be kalifnim. Shneim nechnasim or shneim yotzim kalachutz. On the other hand, if they're both headed inbound or they're both headed outbound, so then modiim is going to be considered kalachutz. Amar Abaye Afanami Tanina. So Abaye says this distinction in terms of when modiim is going to be considered interior versus when modiim is going to be considered exterior. So this distinction that we just made, you can read into the Mishnah. So how so? Because look at the Mishnah. So the kadar who is selling the kaderos, and he is nichnas lifnim in amodim. He's coming to modim, but from the interior, meaning he's headed outbound. So time of lifnim in amodim, hamodim gufa lo meheman. And when he's headed outbound, he's only going to be believed when he's interior, not when he's on modim itself. So ema sefer yatsayinu neman. Hamodiin gufa neman. On the other hand, once he's yotzei, eino neman, which means that at modiin he's going to be neman. So, meaning the Mishnah is confusing. The Mishnah gives us a sense that in modiim itself it's not going to be neman. The next line of the Mishnah indicates that modiim he is going to be neman. So the Gemara says hamodiim gufa neman ella shma mina kam bekadar yotzei vechavar nichnas. So the Gemara says, so the way to resolve the Mishnah is basically it depends on directions. If the Kedar is headed outbound and the Chavar is headed inbound and they happen to intersect at Modiin, Modiin is going to be treated like interior, and you can go ahead and you can buy from him. However, if you're both headed inbound or you're both headed outbound, so then once you get to Modiin, at that point in time, Nemanus is gone. Admittedly, by the way, I'm trying to put this into a particular practice. It, very difficult. All right. These particular restrictions in terms of when you can believe and when you cannot believe happens to be a difficult series of halachas. Tana, we learned in a braisa, neman miklicheres adakin lekodesh. The braisa tells us that when it comes to klicheres dakin, small klicheres, literally thin. But as you'll see in just a moment, it means small, and it's for kodesh. So the amaretz is going to be believed. Once again, I turn to Rashi over here. Rashi says this is a concession. It has to be. Rashi says on the third line of Rashi. I'll start from the beginning of the Rashi. Had the namin amodim lifnin neman namakli cheres bekli cheres adakim amru. Right. This entire discussion that we're having is only for small kli cheres. Sheyev shebalohem kedepreshin lael. Rashi says, I'm gonna turn your attention to what I mentioned earlier, and we happens to be that we went through the Rashi earlier. And that is, you have to make a concession over here, you have to. Sheef Shabalahim Kidapashin Lael Avagasim Kigon Chavisul Yaino Neman Namanim El Besoch Yushlaim Kidalakaman. Okay, but when we're talking about the larger jugs, so at that point in time, there's no Namanis. In Yerushalayim itself, fine. But outside, no. And once again, when it comes to larger jugs, so apparently it's doable. It's somehow maintainable to have a so that the larger jugs can be regulated and restricted. When we say a smaller kli cheres, what are we talking about? The Gemara has a debate amongst the Amoraim. Amar Reish Lakish v'hushinit lam biyado achas. Reish Lakish says it's so small you can hold it in one hand. Rav Yochanan Amar afilu she'eni tam biyado achas. Rav Yochanan says it can even be held in two hands. Amar Reish Lakish l'shanu alari kanim avam aleim lo. So and Reish Lakish says we're talking about where it's empty, but not when it's full. Rav Yochanan Amar afilu maleim. So no, even if it's full. V'afilu afir kusa so l'socho. Even if the beged of the amaris is inside of it. And now Rav Yochanan says, look, even though I'm telling you as a concession that you can believe the Amaretz when he's selling you his kli cheres that he is manufacturing, again, all this is interior of Modiin, so even though it's true. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, there are two aterim that he just outlined. One is that it has to be small, but you still need two hands to hold it. So not so small. And two is even if it's filled with content, still you can go ahead and buy the kli cheres from him. even though Rav Yochanan is makel on both of these points, Modi Rav Yochanan will concede the following. Now, despite the fact that you purchased the Kli Cheres and you were totally allowed to do so, and the Kli Cheres is Tahor, but the food inside is going to be tummy. Now, that's a little bit strange. Gemara immediately notes, Al Titma. Now, I know it's strange, but, you know, don't be so puzzled by all this, because Shari Lagin Malay Mashkin, Lagin Tameim Tuma Shiva Umashkin Tarin. Because do you remember what we learned a couple of days ago? Back in Daf Chav Beis, you had a Kli Cheres separating, you had a skylight separating the first and second floor. You had mace on the first floor. The mace was going up. So he didn't go right through that skylight, but the skylight right now was being blocked by a Kli Cheres. So if you recall, this was a major debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of whether or not it's going to block or it's not going to block. And if you recall the position of Beis Shammai, which eventually Beis Hillel heard and understood, is that the jugs themselves are going to be tamei, but the mashkin are going to be tahor. And if you recall, the Gemara went through an entire back and forth why that should be. But the point is that it is not unprecedented. Or to say it in the positive, there's precedent. There are scenarios in which what we're going to do is we're going to separate the container and the contents, where one's going to be tamei and the other's going to be tahor. Over here as well, when you're purchasing the Kli Cheres from Am Haaretz, so once again, there has to be concession, but the concession is only vis-a-vis the container. As far as the contents are concerned, the contents was just sold to you by an Am Haaretz. Anything handled by an Am Haaretz, generally speaking, is tamei. That's going to be the description of the contents over here. They're going to be tamei. But again, because of a concession, the Chachamim made, you're interior to Modi'in, and you need the Kli Cheres to operate in the base of Mikdash. So therefore, a concession where the Kli Cheres itself is going to be tar.
Here he says, the lagin is... Tumer and the Mashkin is Tur, and the Rabbi Yochanan, the Fika Kasusoi, is just the opposite. The Mashkin is Tur, is Tumer, and the Keli is Tur.
Yeah, total agreement. In other words, the only point the Gemara is making is that we could separate. We could separate the content and the container.
It's not exactly the same.
Correct. It's inverted from what we said earlier.
Right.
100%. 100%. Okay. Hagabayim shenichnesu l'soch habayis v'chein haganavim. Okay, so if you're a tax collector or you're a thief, I know. I don't even have to do it. Just a simple juxtaposition of the two side by side in the Mishnah. Okay, I know it speaks volumes. Okay, but I don't want to be cynical. Okay, but if you have your tax collector and by the way, the gabbai just simply means a collector, but if you look at Rashi over here, it's clearly describing a tax collector. Rashi clearly understands it that way. So the gabbai that goes into your house, or the ganavim go into your house, she'achzir zakelim, and what they did is they took things. Now, as far as the ganav is concerned, so that's easy to understand. He's a ganav, meaning of course that's his job. His job is he's going to take things, and now he was chozer b'tshuva. Okay, so it's a great story, and you know, they'll write a book about it. But in other words, he came back and he brought back what he stole. But of course, as a guy of one can imagine, that he's probably in the category of an Am Haaretz. Okay, I know, by the way, talk about being cynical. It doesn't have to be. In other words, you can have a chaver as a guy of, but okay. But the point is as follows, is that he came in and he took whatever he took and he went and he returned it. And now, what about the gabbai? What is he taking? So it could very well be that he's taking because that's his job. Also, in terms of collection of tax. But Rashi says over here, very good. But Rashi says over here that what he's doing is taking collateral. In other words, he wants you to pay your taxes. Okay? Lawfully, unlawfully. The Gemara at the end of Baba Kama has a lengthy discussion regarding taxation and whether done lawfully, whether done unlawfully, dina de machusa dina. So, right, tucked away at the end of the 10th parak of Baba Kama, The Gemara has a lengthy discussion about that, okay. Coupled with also Moser as well, right? If my memory is good. So anyway, so over here, the issue. Remember, we're at the end of Chagiga right now, so we're focusing only on one aspect and one aspect only, and that is my Amar touched my Kalim, and now can I go ahead and can I use my Kalim? So Ne'emanim Lomar Lo Naganu Uvi Yishleim Ne'emanim Alakodesh V'Shasarego Afalachuma. So here's what they have Ne'emanus over, meaning. that which they touched, okay, right? When I say touched, by the way, sorry. That which they took, okay, that's tummy. Nothing to talk about that. But what they can tell you is, look, we came into the house. Obviously, we took what we took, but we didn't touch anything else. The Mishnah has a chiddush, neman. They're going to be believed. They're going to have credibility that whatever they took is the only things they touched, and they didn't touch anything else in the house. Obviously, that's a chiddush. And if you're in Yerushalayim, so nemanim al kodesh v'shasa regal af al truma. So in Yerushalayim, they're neman on kodesh, which again, that fits in with what we said earlier. Generally speaking, they have neman on kodesh. And then in shasa regal, they're even going to be neman even on truma as well. More of that to be discussed in the upcoming Mishnayos. Urimenu. So immediately we go right to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Agamayim shenichlus asoch habayis habayis kolotamei. So a steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. So the Mishnah says whatever they took, obviously, is tummy, but they're neman to say that we didn't touch anything else. And meanwhile, the Braisa could not say it any clearer. They ransacked the home. Everything. They touched everything, obviously. And they're not neman to say that anything is tahor. Okay. Which, quite frankly, if you think about it, the Braisa is more intuitive. I'm speaking personally. I'm in other words, I'm just my own thoughts for whatever they're worth. So lo kasha adika nachri ba'adaya hadaleka nachri ba'adaya. So the Gemara says it depends. Was he being supervised or not? Meaning it sounds like the Gemara right now is focusing more on the case of the tax collector than it is talking about the ganav. But anyway, didnanim yesh nachri imayim namanim lomar lo nechnasu aval ein namanim lomar nechnasu aval lo naganim. Okay. So the Gemara basically describes the following. Okay, so you have your tax collector. Now your tax collector is a Jew, right? As per the Gemara Baba Kama, we discussed it back then. He's a Jew. And what's happening now is that he's coming in and he's collecting. Okay. Now, he's an Amma Aretz, but that's neither here nor there. In other words, did he touch everything? So the Gemara says it depends whether or not his supervisor was there. What difference does it make? So as Rashi explains over here, so with his supervisor looking over his shoulder, so what is he going to do? He's going to do his job, right? He's going to be very thorough about the job. Right? It's human nature. It's all of us. Right? When someone's looking over our shoulder and watching what we do, so we tend to do a more thorough job. So over here, the thoroughness would mean that he's going to be handling everything. He's going to be touching everything. On the other hand, if there's no supervisor looking over his shoulder, and it just happens to be that, look, it's his job. His job is that he's got to take things as collateral. So in other words, so now you can trust him and say, when he says, the only thing I took is what I touched, and everything else in the house, I didn't touch. So umi ika nachri ba'adayu. So vechi ika nachri ba'adayu. My have Rav Yochum, Rav Lazar, chanamar emas nachri aleim, v'chanamar emas machus aleim. Now, when he has a supervisor, so who is he afraid of? Now, I know it's a funny question, but the Gemara says actually there's two ways in which you could say it. The Gemara brings down a machlokus between Rav Yochum and Rav Lazar. One way to say it is that you are scared of the supervisor. And the other way to say is that no, you're scared of what the supervisor represents. In other words, it's not him. It's the badge, meaning he's representing the king. Okay, but it's more or less the same. But the Gemara says, yeah, that's true. But there is a subtle difference. The Gemara says, my benayu ke benayu nachrishenu choshev. Let's say the supervisor happens to be somebody who's not imposing. He's an unimposing supervisor. Okay, so now if he's an unimposing supervisor, so if you're worried about. If the fear is about the supervisor, okay, but the supervisor, he's relaxed. He's not a big deal. So then I don't need to be concerned that you were thorough in your search. If on the other hand, you're not worried about the supervisor per se, you're worried about what he represents. He represents the kingdom and the government. So at that point in time, so even though he himself isn't much of a threat, but his badge, however, which represents the government, oh, okay, fine. Now you have to be nervous. So then, when there's a supervisor, even if he's an unassuming supervisor, but because of what he represents, so therefore we have to assume the tax collector himself is now going to do a thorough job touching everything. Next. When the ganav comes in, so the Braisa tells us that where he walks is the only thing you need to be concerned about. Amar Rav Pinchas Mishmei de Rav Kishasu Tshuva Dekanami Diktani Shechziru Sakeim Shema Mina. So the Gemara says it's very simple. Meaning, was he Chozer B'Tshuva? Was he Enu Chozer B'Tshuva? So Amish is talking about where he was Chozer B'Tshuva. I know that because in the Mishnah, what happened? So hechzirus akelim, he came back to return. So when you have a chozer b'tshuva, so now he's afforded ne'emanus. If on the other hand the ganav is not a chozer b'tshuva, he's not going to be ne'eman. It's very simple. Uvishleim ne'emanim al hakodesh tan ne'emanim al klicheres gasin lekosh v'chol kach lama shein osim kivshanus b'yerushalayim. So in Yerushalayim they're going to be believed on klicheres. Now, outside Yerushalayim, remember, we learned in the previous sugya, so there is a perimeter in which they're going to be believed on clay cheres, which are small. But in Yerushalayim itself, they're going to be believed on all clay cheres, even larger ones as well. So again, we saw this earlier this morning in Rashi, but now we get to see it inside in the Gemara, and it's predicated on the fact that, you know, in Yerushalayim, there's no kivshanos. There are no furnaces in Yerushalayim. You can't manufacture in Yerushalayim proper. And so now what? So now, by definition, all kli cheres are going to have to be imported. And generally speaking, manufacturers, distributors are going to be a lot of amaratzim. So there has to be concession. So because you can't manufacture in Yerushalayim proper, because there's going to be importation, because there's going to be distributors and manufacturers, so ein breira, so the chachamim were mekel. V'shatz ha-regel, afal ha-truma, menani mila, am Rabbi Yeshua, ben Levi, am Akra, v'yasav kol ish Yisrael, el ha-ir ki ish echad, chaveirim. Hakasav asim kulan chaveirim. Really, an unbelievably interesting drasha over here, that when there's asifa, when there's gathering, so everyone is elevated to a status of a chaver. So over here, we're really borrowing an expression, and we're really taking a pasuk out of context. Meaning, over here, this is the 20th parak of Shoftim. You know what's happening over there in the 20th parak of Shoftim? Pelegish Begiva. Pelegish Begiva takes up the last three prakim of Sefer Shoftim. Yutes Chaf Chafalav, the last three prakim of Sefer Shoftim. So that is the really unfortunate incident in which basically you had civil war. So in terms of the civil war, so you had a number of Shoftim gathering together. That's what the pasuk is describing. Vayasov kol ish Yisrael elayir ki ish echad chaveirim. Okay. So chaveirim over here, we're really borrowing the phrase, meaning we use the terminology of chaver in the context of whether or not he's knowledgeable, not knowledgeable, careful about halacha, not careful about halacha. But basically, let's call it a smachta, right? It's a pasuk in Chumash, it's a pasuk in Navi. But the basic idea is that when you have a sifa, so therefore, people get elevated in status to becoming a chaver. Same thing regarding Aliyah L'Rego. So what happens? Everyone gets together, assemblage. Everyone is now united, and so everyone gets elevated to a status of being a chaver. Haposechus chaviso ve'amascha b'isaso. Haposechus chavito ve'amascha b'isaso agav regal. Rav Yehuda omer yigmor v'chachamim omer lo yigmor. So now you open up a barrel, or you start with dough on yontif. So on yontif, as we just learned together, everyone assumes elevated status. And now yontif is over. What do you do with the leftovers? Are the leftovers assumed to be still in a state of tahara or no? Okay, and as Rashi points out over here, Rashi points out over here in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the Shita of the Chachamim. So that's actually very, very straightforward. The Chachamim say lo yigmor, because the umbrella in which everybody's tar is only yantiv itself. Once yantiv is over, so nobody assumes the status of being tahor. Yes, according to the Chachamim, it's a little bit tricky, because now what we're essentially saying is that when do the Am Haaretz touch it? During yantiv. On yantiv itself, under the protection, under the umbrella of Chaverim Kol Yisrael. However, once Yantiv is over, so now once everyone disbands and everyone goes home, Limafreya, he wasn't the chaver. I'm admitting it's difficult to understand the Shita of the Chachamim. But at the same time, however, there was a certain extra status that's afforded during Yantiv, but after Yantiv is over, no. What about Shita's Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda says that even after Yantiv is over, the status will continue even after Yantiv. Cheskas Tahara will continue. Rashi writes over here, based on the Gemara in Beitza. Gimel Dvarim, I'm reading the Rashi. Gimel Dvarim Hutra Sofa Mishum Tchilasam, Vizek Kamo Kain, Shimata Omer Lo Yigmor, Afu Lo Yaskal, Ve'in Mazam Matsu La Ola Regalim. What's going to happen if we're unable to finish a barrel? So if we're unable to finish a barrel, who's going to want to open a barrel? The answer is most people will not want to open a barrel if we can't finish it. And so this falls under the category, says Rashi, of we're going to permit the sofa because of the tchila. Right? There are a number of examples that are given in the Gemara and Beitza, not to go through them right now. But this will fall under the same category. If we don't allow the barrel to be finished after Yontif, no one's going to want to open on Yontif. And we want to give more relaxation of the rules on Yontif itself so that people will go ahead and open their barrels. So that Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Yasiv Rabbi Ami, we're starting with the Gemara. Yasiv Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yisrael Nafcha, Kila de Rabbi Yisrael Nafcha. Apasachad v'amar maushi enechen l'regel acher. Okay, so now, according to the Shita of the Chachamim, once Yontif is over, that's it. The remaining wine or whatever's left over in the barrel is considered to be tame. Okay, how about waiting till the next Yontif? Amalei idach yadakol memash mashimba v'at amar yenechen l'regel acher. So he says, wait one second. This is handled by Amaritz after Amaritz. Now what do you want to tell me? We'll just leave it over for the next Yontif? That doesn't make any sense. Amalei atu adayin alav yadakol memash mashimba. So he says, well, wait one second. Great argument. I'm going to counter your argument with a simple counter argument of, did you see what happened on Yontif itself? Everyone's handling the wine. Everybody's touching the wine. And on Yontif itself, you were fine with it. So Amalei hachi hashta bishlam ad ha'idna tumas Amaritz beregel rachman ha'tahara. So he says, well, on Yontif itself, everyone enjoys the state of tahara. Now, to read the Gemara carefully, look at the language of the Gemara. Ad ha'in up until this point in time, Tumas Amaretz Beregel, Rachmana Tahara. Well, the Torah permits it. Okay. That doesn't fit in well with what I said just a little bit earlier this morning, right? That this is the Pasuk is an Asmachta and it's a Din Durabanan. Certainly that's a sense you get over the course of the Sugya. Anyway, the language of the Gemara over here is really interesting. Rachmana Tahara. The Torah permits it. But anyway, however it operates, Daraisa Durabanan, on Yontif itself, everyone's a chaver. Everyone gets elevated status. Let's say it simple. Elahasha tameahi, but now at this point in time, it's tamei. Meaning, but once Yontif is over, that's it. Everyone's back to where they were. The amaratzim are amaratzim, the chaverim are chaverim. But in other words, we can't ignore the fact that over Yontif, then amaratz touched on over the course of Yontif. On Yontif itself, he was a chaver. After Yontif, he's not a chaver. Okay, and I understand. And we're now discussing Lemafreya, and it certainly is a complicated discussion, but that would be the counter argument. So name it Ketanai. So the Gemara suggests that maybe this is really subject to a machlokas tanaim. So this question that we pose, can we leave it over to the next Yontif? So it sounds like the Brises are arguing on this very issue. So my love tanaihi. So presumably it's a machlokas tanaim. So the Gemara says not necessarily. Lo. Ha diktani yenechen Rabbi Yehudi. So the Gemara says, no. The issue is not whether I should be leaving it to the next Yontif or not. The issue is, can I finish it after Yontif? That's it. So the Gemara says, wait one second. V'tizbara, ha'rev Yehuda yigmor kamar. Wait one second. If you want to tell me that one brisa that tells me that lo yinichenu l'regel acher is the sheet of Rev Yehuda, so according to Rev Yehuda, you could just simply finish it. Elahad diktani lo yinichenu Rev Yehuda. I jumped ahead one step. The Gemara, for a moment, thought that the Braisa of Yinichen l'regel acher is Rabbi Yehuda. To which the Gemara's question is, well, one second, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't even have to wait till the next Yontif. So the Gemara says, right, the lo Yinichen Braisa, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Had diktani lo Yinichen Rabbi Yehuda, had diktani Yinichen Rabbanan, umay lo Yinichen she'ein tzarech lahanicha. So lo Yinichen just simply means I don't need to. Meaning, the one brisa that says, leave it over for the next Yontif, that's the sheet of the Chachamim. Because again, according to the Chachamim, what happens? Yontif, everyone's a chaver. After Yontif, right, Amaratzim resume their regular status of being an Amaratz. Therefore, the wine that he touched on Yontif, after Yontif, is Tamei. Okay, that's the sheet of the Chachamim. Again, now what do you do? So it sounds like what you could do is you could wait till the next Yontif, where everyone gets an elevate status again. Okay. Again, how all that works is a little bit tricky, and I'm not sure, but regardless. And now Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, no need. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda says that once you open it on Yontif, and once it was under the umbrella of Chaverim on Yontif, it continues even after Yontif is over. Good. And the Braisa that says Lo Yinechenu means Eino Tzarech. You don't have to leave it over. Misha Avar Aregel. We're doing one more mission this morning. Misha Avar Aregel, Ma'avir Naltaros Azara. Aver haregel yom shisha lo yom avirim mimnei kavod haShabbos. Rav Yehuda omer af lo biyom hey sheina kohanim penuyim. Okay, so once yontif is over, so what do you have to do? We have to clean up. But clean up over here means more than just simply clean up, meaning, right, like once any party is over. So, right, there's a lot of cleanup that's involved. So over here, clean up, but clean up in the context of make everything tahor. Right, Rashi in the Mishnah, ma'avirin al-taras ha-zara, ma'avirin as-akelim im-komam lahat bilan. So what we're going to do basically is pick everything up and put it in the mikvah. Rashi says, so look, even though on Yantiv itself everyone gets elevated to a status of being a chaver, okay, but that's on Yantiv. Once Yantiv is over, we can't ignore the fact that an Amar Arutz touched everything. Once again,
so it's not like a
could be. I can deliberate that point. I'd rather not do it right now, but it's what you're saying is good. But it really forces us to really think what is happening on Yontif itself. Meaning everyone gets an elevated status, but after Yontif is over, we can't ignore the fact that Amar has touched it. Like it's tricky. It's really tricky. And by the way, the Rashi uses the same language that we just used in the Gemara. Meaning on Yontif itself, right, the Torah makes them chaverim, meaning it's okay. It sounds like it's a din d'oraisa. Okay, anyway, so cleanup time, right? What if, let's say, after Yontif is over, the next day happens to be Friday? Yisro Chag is Friday, so the Mishnah says at that point in time, there's simply not enough time, so everything the tahara period is going to be extended. Who's extending it? Slightly unclear. And according to Rabbi Huda of the Mishnah, even if Yisro Chag was Thursday, still not enough time, so therefore the Tahara period is going to be extended. The Gemara, just not even a line of Gemara, Tana, She'ena Kohanim Penuyim, Me'la Hotzi Badeshin. In other words, this is now, the way Rashi understands it, an explanation of the Shita of Rabbi Huda. Meaning, what exactly is going on over here that the Kohanim are not going to have enough time? And that is because they're really right now too busy with the Mizbeach. Consider that over the course of Yontif, carbon after carbon has been offered on the Mizbeach. That pile of ashes has really accumulated over the course of Yontif. So now there's a lot of cleanup. Hotzas Hadeshen, taking all the ashes off the Mizbeach and bringing it outside of Yerushalayim. Right? There's Trumas Hadeshen, there's Hotzas Hadeshen, if you recall. Right, those are two separate mitzvahs. Trumas Hadeshen is daily, but Trumas Hadeshen just simply means take a shovel full of the ashes and deposit it on the southeast side of the Mizbeach. That's daily. But Hotzas Hadeshen, that's real cleanup. So that's taking out all the ashes after Yontif. So there's so much to take off. That's why if Yisro Chag is a Friday, or if, according to Rav Yehuda, if it's on a Thursday, there's so much Hotzas Hadeshen, so it's not a fair expectation to assume that we're going to be able to pick all the kelim up and tovel them in the mikvah and remove all the Tumas Hazara. So therefore, an extension of the Amaratzim is afforded for another day or two. So that Sunday, now we're then and only then are we expecting them to clean up. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Misha Aver Harego, we're going to pick up, Ketzan Ma'avirin. We'll pick up with that Mishnah tomorrow, and obviously we'll cover the last sugya tomorrow. Meantime, however, let's quickly recap. Let's review our daf today. So today, we just finished off the last sugya in terms of the Kalim, vis-a-vis Kodesh, they're believed year-round. Vis-a-vis Truma, they're going to be believed during the pressing season. What about the Kalim themselves? So to make the Gemara a little bit streamlined, no, they don't have nemanos regarding the Kalim. You're going to have to actually empty the contents of the Kodesh and the Truma when they're going to be believed. You're going to have to empty it into your Kalim. Okay. The manufacturer, who's an Amma Aretz. So once you're within Modi'in, interior to Yerushalayim, so then they're going to have credibility. And then you can go ahead and you can buy Kli Cheres from them, but only Kli Cheres Ketanim. Right? As Rashi points out, as we saw through the Gemara, there has to be concession being made, meaning despite the fact that generally they are not believed on the Tum and Tahara, but when it comes to Kli Cheres, you need Kli Cheres, You're not making it in Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, right? No furnaces are open in Yerushalayim as a zoning restriction in Yerushalayim. So therefore, concession is made that you can go ahead and buy it. And the Gemara went through a lot of details regarding the size of the item that you can buy, what exactly has to be seen in terms of the manufacturer making it, where did he make it, did you watch him bring it into Modi'in, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. When a ganav or a gabai come into your house, so and they're certainly taking things, so that which they take is tamei. But what about other things in the house? Are they going to be believed when they say they didn't touch anything else? So it depends. If their supervisor is there, they're not going to be believed because they have to do a more thorough job. If their supervisor is not there, so then they are going to be believed because they don't have to do such a thorough job. And then in the middle of today's daf, Chavav Amad Aleph, so we saw this idea that on Bizman HaAsifa, when people get together, everyone gets the elevated status to being a chaver. Good, and that means on Yantiv itself, so everyone in Am Haaretz is now going to be ascended to the level of chaver. Once Yantiv is over, he goes back down to being an Am Haaretz. So what does that mean now retroactively? So that was a big discussion in today's daf. The Mishnah says that if the Am Haaretz handles something over Yantiv, so as far as the leftover is concerned, a major machlok is between the Chacham and Rav Yehuda. What do we say retroactively? According to the Chachamim, we say it's Tameh. According to Rav Yehuda, we say it's Tahor. And again, Rashi says that in defense of Rav Yehuda, it goes in line with they were matir the sofa mishum tchilaso. We want to encourage people to open up barrels. If we were to go back retroactively and say everything's Tameh, no one's going to want to open up a barrel. So we were matir the sofa mishum tchilaso. Discussion in terms of, can I leave it over for the next Yantiv according to the sheet of the Chachamim? Maybe yes, maybe no. Two brisas seemingly arguing this very issue, but the Gemara says what they're arguing about is a different issue. And finally, clean up after Yantiv is over. Good. We expect the Kohanim to clean everything up. And by clean up, we mean take all the Kalim and tovel them in the mikvah. Because again, once Yantiv is over, we have to look back retroactively and say that the Amaretz touched everything and therefore everything needs tefillah. And the only detail that we learned at the end is that what if Yantiv ended on a Thursday? Which means that you only have one day. Can we expect them to be matar the entire Zara at that point in time? No. According to Rav Yehuda, they're given even a two-day extension.